place, and you did not see the glory of God. When you get into your place, when you start moving in God, you start actually taking your own, and you see huge fulfillment in it. You simply start, such things start pouring out to you that you yourself, you'll be in a little quiet shock. When you start reading these testimonies, I'll tell you right away. Some people think this is 1, 2, 3. No, testimonies are coming left and right every day, nonstop. We just started working. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Can you imagine if all of you start doing this and spreading the Bible? Imagine what would happen. And we need to move. We need to work. We need to find your place, your calling. And you will see huge blessing. And not only they'll be thanking the pastor or certain things, they will be thanking you. My dream is for every one of you to get fulfilled, to find your place in your time. And when, of course, we hear his testimonies, glory to God, but you know in heaven we'll hear a lot more of them. We will hear such things that we're simply going to be in happiness and peace, because our life is not just flowing by. Our life is not just going by. Most terrible thing to me is when a person is not using his time right. It's most dangerous thing for me, because I know how important it is for every hour of my life, every day. Today we're going to talk about one interesting subject that I called second breath. Again, I received this subject in my athletic club. In one wonderful moment, I was running and I had music playing. I was praying and running. For me, it's a wonderful time. And sometimes, not sometimes, but most of all, I receive revelations where I'm one-on-one with him. Some people say, how can you receive revelations at the athletic club? You can't even imagine how much I get. I just run. I don't think when I run. We do it automatically. You're just running. And God starts speaking to your heart. Something starts changing inside you. And I had a nice phone where I can, when I can do music, and while I go, I start writing sermons, start making little notes, little thoughts into my electronic little notepad. And this sermon, I'll tell you before I even begin it, some people, you're very strange, but in your sermon, sometimes you go against yourself. He says, you'll say one sermon, and in a half a year, some other subject goes against it. I'll tell you what this is. Do you understand? There is children. We have children. And when I tell my older daughter, do not even think about touching this and lifting this. And then you turn around to your son and you tell him, Daniel, you're a boy. You got to help your sister. Please take this and lift this up. Look, most interesting is I'm saying two different things. But most interesting is that they conflict each other, because I told one of them not to do it. I told the other one to do it. And here it is. But when I preach, I'm never saying your name. This the Holy Spirit has to do. So when I stand up and preach, I am saying it's time for you to move. If you're not connected to the Holy Spirit, if you're not walking close with Him, He's not going to tell you. But if you're walking close with Him, everything inside you will start to light up on fire. And you'll know that this word is to me. This is my word. This is what God is speaking to me right now. It's my sermon. It's to me. And another time I'll come and I'll be saying, do not move, because you must know your time. If you make the mistake, you might make a mistake for a long time. If you're walking close with the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you exactly. He said, right now, slow down. Right now, make a little moment. Tighten yourself up for a moment. When I preach two different things, if you're not connected with the Holy Spirit, He's not speaking to your name. it looks like I'm conflicting myself, but I'm letting the Holy Spirit tell you what's important to you at that moment. That's why when we read the Bible, we even find things going against each other. You know, atheists find about more than 30 things that go against each other just in the New Testament, but they don't understand that the book was written by the Spirit to a spiritual person, and everyone takes out of the Bible what God is speaking to that people at that moment. That's why we need to understand the time, and we need to know our Father. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said. So when I say a sermon, it might not go to this half of the people. It might go to this half of the people. So that's why you can just take this sermon and you can say, this is not my sermon. My time is to move. And somebody else will say, this is my time for me to think. So we need to understand, being a spiritual person, we need to understand what God is saying and what He's saying through the Word. That's why. Second breath. What does this mean? I'm not talking about second chance. He's going to be giving you a 10th chance until you breathe. Right now, I'm going to be talking about the second breath. Athletes who are professional athletes. I used to run. I used to be like a trainer. All he told me was, you know why I used to run fast, right? Trainer used to always train me, and he says, you must learn to open up your second breath. Who knows what I'm talking about right now? If you could not open up a second breath, then you are doing it wrong. You could not run. It would start poking you on the side. You start hurting. It's poking, and you're like, and you can't breathe because you did not get into the right formula, and you cannot reach results. What is a second breath? I'll explain what the simple term is. Second breath is when rhythm of your heart goes the same as the rhythm of your body, your physical movement. So not only the outside factors of your muscles, they must be in shape, but if your heart is not in shape, even when your physical muscles are not in shape, because doctor checks your heart, and your heart does not have regular beats. It's called rhythm. There's certain things where they just put you on the sideline because you might get a heart attack right there where you're running, and your heart might not be able to handle it, or you might have a serious problem. What I'm talking about, that I'm talking about heartbeat. There must be, when you want to play professional sports, if you don't want to just run 5-10 minutes, that's not running. That's a little warm-up. If you want to run an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, these are people who get into this rhythm and this system. Your heart must go along with the movement of your body. How come we don't see some people who went to school? You understand that when a trainer or a person who trains us in school or teacher, he wants us to start running. First, we start walking, simply walking. Why do we do this? Because we get our heart started into the movement, and you walk faster and faster, and you get to the moment where your heart is capable of beating right, and you start running slowly, and you start running a little faster, and then you get into a sure rhythm. Who lived through that moment? You feel heart, and then next thing you know, you open up your second breath, and you get full of air, and something just opens up, and you just keep going. You feel like your body, like supernaturally. You know what that is? That's your heart getting into the rhythm of your pace, and you can run for miles not having any kind of consequences. You totally feel the rhythm of your heart. That's what second breath means. In a service, this is such an important factor, as important as it is in our physical running, if you never understood what it's like, your service must connect with the rhythm of the heaven. If you never understood what God wants from you in this world, you will never be able to run right, correctly. If you never understood that what is rhythm of the heaven, the way God moves, what He wants from my life, you will start having problems and all kinds of troubles. I'm in a athletic club for hours. If I go there, that's it. You have to pull me out. I sit there for 3 or 4 hours. I know I have to go, and I'm just stretching my time. I like it. I don't make myself. And when you start running half an hour, 1 hour, you're just running and running. Most important, you start noticing such things. A lot of people, they go through this circle. In other words, you can always see people who are just visiting in an athletic club. You're a person who's used to it. I've been in there for years, all the time. My clothes is already used to my. It's not new. It's kind of getting old, maybe a little. I don't notice it. It's already used to my movements because this clothes is designed for my body. It's used to my movements, and I really like to use it. When you see a new person, he comes like. He has everything new on him. His shoes are brand new. Everything is tight. His little gloves are shining. Nice hairstyle. He's never seen sweat yet. And you see he's got a shirt, new, brand new headphones. And you're just running. Your rhythm is worked out. You're running for an hour. And you see how this new guy just runs out there. He sees you. He's thinking, what are you running? And he starts running like a bullet. He starts and the next thing you know, he can't breathe. Have you seen that before? And then he's sitting there. He hasn't got it. And you're still running. What's going on? And you're running for 5 more laps. And he takes his breath and he's going again. 2 more laps and even worse. And that's it. He's feeling bad now. Why does this happen? Because he doesn't understand what he's doing. He simply took off and just going around in circles. This happened not long ago. I was running, and I saw, and about one, when I run for an hour and my temp with my open breath, how many people go through the circle? 1 lap and he leaves, 2 laps and he leaves. And that reminds me of our leaders around us in churches. You see him coming out, beautiful. We open up a church. And then you see everybody goes there and something new, and then you see it's gone. What happened to it? They still exist. Yeah, they're getting together over there receiving revelation. There's 4.5 of them. And then you see everything was starting so powerfully because it's the flesh. God starts from something small. He starts slowly. He doesn't torture you. He's not going to shame you when you're not ready. We run out on our own, and then we shame ourselves. And it's so hard to turn back. And we have spiritual rhythm. When we need to go and walk, we sit in depression. When God says, right now, you must run, you must do it, we sit there and just relax. I say, no, Lord, I don't deserve your majesty, your service. He said, what difference does it make? People are dying. You must go. And the time when God says, well, right now, relax for a while. And we're like, God, I got ideas. And you start digging with your ideas, and then you see a year goes by, 2 years, 3 years. I know what I'm talking about. And you see that you're just in shame. People don't even look at you. Nobody wants to talk to you anymore because you did something that is not fixed, that can only be fixed and healed by with years. I just want to tell you that this looks so much like our services. Today, I want to, in this little short thought, to tell you the rhythm of the heaven must connect with the movement of you in this world. We must understand what God wants from us. You say, I don't know. Then do not think about moving. Don't even think about moving. If you're saying, I don't even know yet, I just have ideas, I have a dream. A dream doesn't mean that you must go right now. A dream means that you must make a first small step towards your dream. Your dreams means that I have something, but it's not what can come out right now. You might ask me, where did I come from? For 12 years, I was warming up. Some people say, how do you run? Why are you running right now so fast? Where's this coming from? For 12 years, I was in a warm-up. In this warm-up, I was doing tons of mistakes that I want you to repeat. You don't need them. You don't need to warm up for 12 years. Don't even think about it. I had it because I was a person of mistakes, because no one else was there to teach me. I was learning with my own mistakes, with my own nose, and a bunch of failures. That's why I'm standing here right now. I'm not like a person of theory, a person of who has practice. I want to tell you, please, you must know exactly, because I don't want to start running fast and then give up halfway there. I want me to open up my second breath. I remember when you start moving, everything's not the way it's supposed to be. When you first get into an athletic club, you put your clothes on and everything. First thing, you know how us people, Russians, Ukrainians, we all people, everybody, we don't like to warm up. Those people who go to athletic club, we don't like to warm up. I watch people that come. You must stretch. You're supposed to put all your muscles in order. And you have to little by little do everything. It's for your body to be prepared. And then you start warming up. And then you start putting pressure on it. People come to the club. They just buy the club. He's pumping weights. And then you see he's like, oh, I want to drink tea. How do you lift the cup? How do you lift the hand? Like this. And then you're just like, because you did something you're not supposed to. You ripped all your muscles. You stretched everything you could stretch. And then you're saying, this athletic club. And that's what we do as Christians. You take off, yeah. And you stretched everything. Whoa, what happened? He's eating with his feet. His hands aren't working. And that's why we need to understand the spiritual things. We need to understand me with the spiritual language and listen to me with your spiritual ears before you get into the sermon. This is for leaders. This for people with a dream. It's perfect. But I ask you, my favorite people, to know that rhythm of your heart, the rhythm of God and the Holy Spirit must connect, not a step farther, not a step backwards. God has to lead you. You cannot make up what you want. You can't start running without God. You can't just make up theories that came to your head and plans that you did. You have to start ready. Slowly. We're going to read a couple of places. You know, I was in Kings for a while. We're going to read from Samuel. 2 Samuel. We're going to read from the New Testament. I just want you guys to understand about what's going on. 2 Samuel 5:22. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22. Starting from verse 22. You know why David... Why he was successful in all his ways? All of them. Most interesting, when we take David, we're surprised how successful he was. No matter what battle he went to, nobody could touch him. Nobody could defeat him. Nobody could even compare to David. David was a dangerous person because with this person, God was with him. And David knew the rhythm of the heaven. I'll read this place to you so you know what I'm talking about. So it's 2 Samuel 5:22. Once more the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And you'll say, God, why are these people coming up again? Because Philistines, they came again. You didn't finish him off last time. You didn't bury him last time, so. And let's see with David. Interesting. David was a soldier, right? He was a warrior from the childhood. He was trained to fight. He wasn't a person of some joke, you know, somebody you put on the throne. No, no. This is a personality that knew what blood was ever since he was a child when he killed the lion and the bear. This person knew he was a soldier, and he was dangerous from the very childhood with his anointing. When they poured the anointing on him, he was nowhere, no matter where David went, there was success. And listen to why. So David inquires of the Lord. Here's a key right here. And he asked the Lord. He was professional in warfare. Why, David, should you ask God again in a sphere where you're professional? Why? I understand. But when you're a professional in a sphere, why should you? War is war. You counted the numbers. You counted how they're standing. You know how these people are standing. You know the weapons. And you choose the position, and you start attacking. But no, David, he was a lot more wise than all the other leaders. Why? Because of this. Because he always humbled his rhythm with the rhythm of God. He always came out as a conqueror out of all the wars for one reason, because he knew the rhythm of his heart and the rhythm of God. He knew, and he compared him, and that's when he started moving. Listen to me. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go straight up." He straight up tells him, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind him and attack him in the front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean that the Lord has gone out in front of you." I want to ask you a question. Is God walking in front of you? This speaks about before you even move. David, before he received the answer, and there's a couple spots, David would ask God for weeks and it would not go into battle. You know why Saul was defeated? Because he couldn't even wait for the prophet, and he did what he wanted to do. You hear what I'm talking about? The war was, there was a war again. And he said, "Why should I wait? Why should I wait for him?" So this is just an example. Prophet symbolized that God spoke through the prophet. That means he couldn't wait for the prophet. You just said, "Forget God, I'll do it myself." So he would care less about the rhythm of the heaven. He would not even care. That's why God got mad at this battle. He just took all his rights at this battle. He said, "Now you will not be the king. Now you're not going to have authority. Now you're a nobody, and I'm taking your kingdom and giving it to someone else. I'm not going to open this place from the Bible, because you guys all know it by heart." In this battle, Saul proved that he did not want to compare and have the same rhythm as heaven. There's no prophet, and I got to go. And David did not do that even once. He always asked God, read all the Samuel, the kings. He would never go in a battle. That's why David was never defeated, because he always compared his movements to God's. God in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. You know that David, he had a couple of, his rhythm would go off a couple times. We'll read a moment where David, he did what he wasn't supposed to do. And we know that when he was supposed to go to war, he was just laying around in bed. 2 Samuel 11:1. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, just read it up there. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab. At that time, when the king has to go and fight for his kingdom, he sent Joab. Everything starts from when you stop doing what God tells you to do. You get relaxed. You say, not a problem. I'm normal. I'm fine. I'll send my helper to do it. Let him do his thing. Let him light him up. I'll relax. And let's see what this got him to. David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rahab, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up in his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. I want to hint one cool moment in this story. One time, they made it look like, you know, just one time in the evening, David got off his bed. Let's see what a terrible thing starts here. First of all, he always sang in the Psalms, "In the morning, my soul is praising you." Amen? But right here, for some reason, the rhythm, he didn't go to war. For some reason, he got off his bed in the evening. So he was not with God. He didn't go to war. He started bad days like we sometimes could have, because we so look alike David in this moment. As soon as I read a few sentences, and one time towards the evening, David got off his bed. I was saying, "Oh Lord, everything's fine," and you just start letting your life flow. You stop doing what you were doing before. The Word of God is only being read at the sermons on Sundays. You stop being with Him, and that's where this problem starts. And what's most terrible is that we fault God and everything. You understand? And then when in your life, nothing is going right, and you make your own decisions, "Oh, I have a divorce." But when you get married, did you talk to God? Did you even ask God to buy this house? I have debt. Did God even tell you to borrow and buy this land? And then we start saying, "Lord," and we become spiritual, and we start screaming and whining and jumping and praying and doing everything we can to get out of the situation, because from the very beginning, the rhythm of the heart of God did not go along with the rhythm that you're going with. Everything that you do in this land must connect. If you are called to be a businessman, if you are called as a leader of something, you got to understand that God is giving you part of a teaching where nobody knows you. Tell me, who knows the mistakes of David when he was herding his sheep? You know that none of us knows anything that happened when he was a shepherd with the sheep. We don't know this because this is a legal moment that God is allowing you to prepare until you get into the battlefield. When you're going to be standing and Goliath is going to be staring into your face, no matter what this is, maybe it's something in your business, some Goliath that you're afraid of, or maybe opening up some kind of a service. That could be your Goliath that you must take. You have to break down. And this is some kind of fear before things. It's not time for you to lose your second breath. It's time to... I had a time where I could make mistakes and nobody knew about. But then when I got into the public, that's when every little thing was noticed. It was printed out and highlighted. You cannot do that anymore. Right now, all you guys have time when you start moving to use that time dearly, because pretty soon you're not going to have that time. And then everyone will know every hour of your time, what you ate, who you ate it with, and who you didn't eat with. It's not time to make mistakes then and making some kind of bad decisions. It's not time for you to fall down and get up. I'm a human too. I can make mistakes. No, it's not the time. You didn't see David ran out to the Goliath and said, "Whoa, how terrible," and ran back. That would have been a funny story, huh? And it ran back out again. Looked at him. No, no, no. That's us. We want to do something for God, and we're like, we run up, we get ashamed, and we run back, and we do things we don't need to do them, and we do things we're not. We have heyos in life, and then when we are full of mistakes, and we failed so many times, we say, "I'm not going nowhere. That's enough for me. I ran around enough." And the time when you're running, I learned the system of running. At first, I walk. My heart is beating real lightly. I am taking my heart and putting it into movement before my feet start running fast. My feet can run fast right away, but your heart will not do that. A person can take off quick, but God doesn't do that. Your time has to come, and your rhythm. Yeah, your rhythm with every year will become stronger because the heart of God. I'll tell you honestly, I'd rather spend 1 or 2 years to warm up, but the next 2 years, I will reach things that the other ones did not reach in 10 years. Why? Because I learned the rhythm. I understand how God moves. I don't understand a lot, but at least I understood that before any service, you got to understand the heart of God. And when you understand it's not time, you just step back and nobody knows anything. You did not shame yourself. You just learned. But when you start taking off, running to the front, your heart's not ready. And I would watch people who get into this circle and then running back out in 5 minutes. And while I'm still running there, hour to hour and a half, I see so many people running in, coming in and out. Coming in now, not because they don't want to run, because they took off and they couldn't warm up their heart. They're just in 5 minutes. They sit back down or go relax somewhere. Why? Because they couldn't get their heart into the right movement. They couldn't start up their heart or their physical. They just took off, and your heart started overworking, and then you just end up having to stop. How to learn to move in the rhythm. That's why I'm here. If you want to ask me how, that's why I'm here. How do you move in the rhythm? I'm not talking about the athletic club. Who runs here, honestly? That's why we have a lot of sick people here. You must do some sports. Then you'll be able to handle a lot. It's a joke, but you have to do some sports. It's really good. We all want to not just live happy but and healthy, but we want to leave this life in a good form. Honestly, you have two choices to leave this life. We're all going to leave it. If you're thinking you're going to just be taken up to heaven, but not everybody has that chance. Sometimes you go earlier than you planned. And, you know, you feel sad when you see that they're fighting every sickness. 60, 70 years. These are not old people. God wants us to live 120 years. He said, you will live 120 years. And then they said 70 to 80. That's for those people who don't eat right and who don't live right. That's not a joke. Open the Bible and you'll see. God stopped our time for 120 years. That the fact that we live 60 and 80, 7 years old, that's a shame. We got to live right, eat right. We have to reach something for God. That's why, honestly, I'm planning on living here. I don't want to leave quickly. We must plan for future, for far ahead, what we're going to do, how we're going to move. Okay? How to learn how to move. Most interesting. You got to start physically, slowly. In other words, if you're feeling the calling, a lot of the Slavic people, they taught us, not because we do something wrong. We were taught that way for years, that some person must come at some special time, and he will give you the word, and you will get into the service. They always told us, I grew up in this. Thank God for Baptist. They didn't get any of that. They were just learning from the word. But since I was in the Pentecostal denomination, and they were always after the prophets, where's the strong prophet? Where's the spiritual prophet? Where's the lower category prophet? And they always had, they had a whole system of how to talk to God, and it was just crazy. Thank God for Baptists. They went around that. That's why their minds are more clear. Until this day, I see people who are running after prophets. Your prophet is the Holy Spirit that lives in you. You might say, what do you have against prophecy? Nothing. It's needed. But you shouldn't chase after. If God needs to tell you something, He will find you through any person. He'll come to you and say, listen, I had a dream. I had this vision. I had this word. God has shown me this. It's not going to be that you're going to be waiting in line every day to receive a prophecy. You know what I'm talking about? I just want to get you guys out of childhood. You got to communicate with God. That's why it's the New Testament now. Now God lives in us and speaks through us. Everyone has a connection to Him. You must start movement. You have a dream? What are you doing right now to reach your dream? Are you waiting for something to fall out in your head? Check the statistics for people who got into the service. Every one of them started something small, little by little, really quietly, you start moving. You know that when we take everything off, Israel only knew David on the field with Goliath. That he was a shepherd with the sheep, herding the sheep. But Israel didn't know that. They see a guy in a young age. They see him with like a with some kind of a stick and some rocks, and they see him not acting like other people. Absolutely, they was not afraid of a situation, and they saw him this way. But David, even before this, had a serious warm-up. Before this, he had a serious preparation for this. And that's why when he came out in public, all he did before that got him prepared for this moment. And when he came out, the rhythm of heart of God connected with his rhythm. And when he heard these words, I guarantee you, even if the whole army did not chase after the Philistines, he would have chased them all by himself. Remember Elijah? He's running in the front. Say, King, how you doing? Why? God can give you such supernatural capabilities. I'm talking about that David had the anointing, so much anointing. He was so prepared to his victory that he did not care about the army. You know, when David came out to fight Goliath, he didn't even care about the army because he knew they're all scared people who didn't do nothing for 40 days. He knew that none of them was going to do anything. He said, listen, King, I'll handle this. And you know, David said, I will kill you. I'll cut your head off. And I'll let the birds eat your body. And then I will cut everybody, all the whole your whole army. We know that David had plenty of power to do that. If such a leader like Samson could take a bone of a skull of a donkey and lay out an army of thousands, and David, he started his service with the sheep. That's where he learned how to feel God's path. You must have a place. You can't get into the sermon right away. It's never happened. I've never seen one leader. I've never read one book where it's written, he was born and became a powerful person of fire. He's lying, because he's not talking about that part of life where he had to warm up. Jesus' disciples for 3.5 years were catching Jesus' rhythm, amen? And after he left, they were able to run. Why? In his temple. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the power from above. When they received this allowance, God started moving in front of them. What am I talking about? I'm telling you that you must feel God. I'm standing here. I can feel God's path. I know God's path. I'm with Him all the time. I want to ask you a question. Do you know God's path? Some people say, I don't have success. I don't have any success. I have one person in my cell group and that's it. But can you dedicate your life to that one person? Maybe your motives are wrong. God can't give you more. Because God is not only protecting those who come to you, He's also protecting you. Because, you know, the biggest enemy of all anointed people, you know who it is? I'll tell you. What do you say? Biggest enemy of any anointed person is glory. A moment comes, if you're not ready for it, there's so many thank yous, so much glory to you. You get glory to your feet. But take a look here. But it's always going to come to your feet because you're a person who God used, right? So this means that you, what are you going to do with this glory? As soon as you leave it at your feet, like Lucifer did, then your service is done with. You're done. Your time is over. Because God does not give His glory to anybody until it goes through me. That's when I can keep receiving it. As soon as I do not accept any word, because I know who I used to be and when I used to be. You got to know yourself so much that when somebody tells you, I thank you for your service in my life, you can't just say, oh, this all goes to God. You shouldn't even have that thought. Because you must know that you have had nothing to do with this miracle. Amen? You were just a cup at the right time, standing there in a certain place. Rhythm of God. And when you start moving with God, you all got to have a place of warm-up where nobody sees you, where nobody hears you, where nobody's concentrating on you. But you start moving. You start from one person, from two people. And this grows to a serious organization, serious fruit. You start collecting. You start collecting such things that others dream about simply because you are ready for success. Church, I want to ask you a question. Are you ready for success? You know, only my wife Svetlana can prove this. When God was preparing us, I said, God, why is there so much pain? Why did I have to see so many wounds? Why did I have to see so much of my personal defeat? I'm not preparing you for some little things, some little failures, or you're doing this for me to get used to failures so they wouldn't destroy me. And I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me, I'm preparing you to success. because the most dangerous thing for any anointed person is success, it's glory. It's that person, it's what person keeps for himself. We'll read one more place. You know how sad it is to look at failures of churches and people. When I see people next to me having a huge dream, and you see these people, they just took off and then died out, and nothing else happened in their life. Let's read one place. I'll just prove this to you based upon the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hold on a second. Paul here explains what is a complete person. Who can tell the difference between good and evil? Listen to me carefully. The feelings. You cannot move in revelation. You can't see some revelation and start moving. Hard food. But solid food is good for mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. How do they learn to distinguish? By experience. How did they learn to distinguish? Mature. Person started doing something. That's experience. How can you teach me? As a businessman, if you've never done any serious investment and had some serious success, how can you teach me success? How can some person invest into me if he've never went through anything? How can we feed from revelations? You just read something and you put it out. It has no power or authority. It has no life in it. Feelings. This talks about that you must be mature. It only comes when you start moving. When you start moving, when you start going forward, then you become mature. That time is given to you to learn to move with God. When you learn to move with God, you can't even imagine how easy it is to move with God. Some people say, how do you reach? They try to learn the formula, the secrets. They call, they find out, they try to get my number. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, if I can't explain to him, can you explain to him that I have nothing to do with this at all? I could simply give you the formula of movement, but I can't give you the secret, because for everyone, God has his own time, his own rhythm, and his own way for you. When you get onto it, you'll see. When you see the whole movement, how people are called, what kind of responses you get from other countries, that you see all the little things he covers with his blessing. I can feel how God can teach you how to move. Use this time. Do not go early. Don't have some overheating, or I don't want you to take off early. If you're going with God and you're talking to God, you will not miss your time. You'll never miss your time. You will never make mistakes. If you're with God, you're always going to know exact time. Please pray. When I pray, have you noticed? When you start praying in tongues, you know exactly the time. And you know what you got to do. Who understands this? When you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit. For some reason, you start to know the time. You start to know what to do. That's why, again, one little advice before I finish. Please, please, please move only when God moves. You will see huge success. You'll see blessings when you're with God. Don't try to take off. Little by little, you'll start to warm up. Don't sitting there. Don't be dying. Start doing it, and you'll see how your rhythm, God will be growing your rhythm, and the people will see you, and it'll be easy to run the marathon for you. People, marathon, oh, wow. How many kilometers marathon? 42 kilometers and 600 meters to the exact. 42 kilometers. People are running with a smile on their face, with pleasure. I'm looking and I'm thinking, I run good, but marathon, I apologize. My heart isn't ready to run the marathon yet. And you see these people, they just get into the rhythm. I like to watch the marathon. Somebody's running. And you see a professional. You can see a professional marathon. Everybody took off, and he's just... I watched the marathons. And it's just interesting to see. That's where I receive my sermons. And you're watching a person. Yeah, absolutely. Does not understand what a marathon is. Put 8:75. He took off. He's just running. And this guy's just running little by little. And then he passes everybody. At first, he passes by the hundreds. He passes hundreds. Somebody's drinking water. Somebody's on the sideline. And he's just going and going and going. And he just breaks the... And because he knows the rhythm, he did not prepare himself to run 5 kilometers. He prepared himself for 42. Glory to God. Did you take something for yourself, church? Let's all stand up. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you. We glorify you. We're happy to be here. We're happy that we're with you, that you're with us. We thank you that you're training us. I ask you one thing, Father. Let this church have lots of leaders, lots of people. But I ask you, let everything come out on its own time. Let us learn to work with your rhythm. Let us learn to walk. I know that in 1 year you can reach what people couldn't reach in their whole life because we can feel your rhythm. Father, I ask you not to go off your heartbeat and start something that's going to stop or destroy your glory. Everything we do belongs to you. Because we totally know who we are. We know who we are without you. But with you, we can move mountains. We thank you and we ask you in this 2008, we ask you to teach us to hear your rhythm. Teach us to run without a stop. To open up our second pace and just to reach this path. We thank you for a wonderful beginning. And nothing is judged by the beginning. Everything is judged by the end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Take a seat for a few minutes.